to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, do I have a couple here that is just absolutely incredible. They are inspirations for me. They are Deacon Celso Rojas and his wife, Agnes Rojas. And they are on fire, on fire. Fuego in Spanish, right?
Amen.
On fire. How do you say fire in Tagalog?
Apuy.
Apuy.
Ma'alab.
Ma'alab.
All right. Amen. And she's got her hands raised and so forth. I am so excited to talk about the gift of evangelization with them because that's what they do. And evangelization means good news. And we spread the good news in lots of different ways. We spread the good news as it relates to sharing about Jesus and how much Jesus loves us, but also through our activities, through serving the poor, through serving one another. And being a deacon and deacon's wife means that we are involved in outreach.
Amen.
We're involved in making a difference, in serving the poorest of the poor. But it's poor in spirit. It's poor financially. It's poor in any way. And so important. But my first question to you, Deacon Celso, is what made you become a deacon? And tell us a little bit about your life, your background, your family, and so forth.
I could say that the call started in my late 20s when the Lord called me through somebody who introduced me to the Charismatic Renewal. And
was that me? No.
And during that time, I could say, on top of my career, and I was young, but there was something lacking, and that something was the presence of the Lord in my life. Although I studied in Catholic schools from grade school through college, the meaning of being Christ's son, brother, was far away from my mind because everything was mechanical. Remember during that time, in my generation, not yours, when the nun clapped their hands, you knelt. And then when she clapped again, you stood up during Mass. And that was the generation that I grew in. However, during this particular time, I felt that life had to change for me. And when the Holy Spirit touched me during that time, everything turned around.
Amen. And my brothers and sisters, we talk about this as being this metanoia, this transformation. In our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, we focus on the greatest journey in the world, the journey from the head to the heart, 18 inches long. And we have this head knowledge. We grow up with head knowledge, but it's really putting it in the heart. And that's what happened to you and to both of you. And that makes such a big difference, but we have to want it. We have to ask for it. You take a look again at the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:6, and it says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. We're asked to hunger and thirst for God. And that's a big part of this journey. So continue on, Deacon.
Yes, I could encapsulate it with these words. I was broken and hurting inside. And I did not have a course or direction in my life during that time. What I needed was God's love in me. And this is what I found when I encountered the Lord. When somebody prayed over me and I felt the Holy Spirit touching me, this brokenness was healed. And as we all know, healing is a process. And I went through this when I committed myself to serve the Lord. I asked Him to give me the strength to go on and proclaim His kingdom throughout the whole world.
Amen, amen. But you said yes. Thank you for your yes. And you can tell other people that. Say thank you for your yes. And that was how many years ago?
That was 28. I was 28, and now I'm 70.
No.
Yes, I am 70.
He is a young 70. He looks like he's 50. And, you know, it's so funny because that's the same age as me. I mean, as it relates to when I had my kind of metanoia was at 28. In which I gave my life to Jesus, and everything changes. Tell me about when you became a deacon and how that whole process happened.
When I became a deacon, the calling to become a deacon started in 1996. But I just kept it on the back burner because I thought that it was just myself wanting to become a deacon. And I asked myself, why? Why do you want to become a deacon? During that time, even before 1996, I was already involved in the ministry, particularly evangelization, because some of my work here in the U.S. was to go to Camp Pendleton, ministering to the Marines who were going to war. We also went to Port Hueneme, ministering to the Navy. And also, we had outreaches in different parts. We went to Arizona, we went to Canada. And so I said, Juvenile Hall too. And I said, I'm already doing this ministry. Why do I want to become a deacon? So that I kept it in the back burner until, you know, the cutoff date to become a deacon is 60 years old, right? I was 59 and a half.
Oh boy.
And I said, Lord, if you really want me to become a deacon, allow me to submit my application to the Archdiocese. And if I get accepted, that's your will. And so I went through the regular interview and so forth and so on until I received a letter stating that I've been accepted to the diaconate. And you see, when you're 59 and a half, going 60, and you will think of studying for 5 years, that will be a big challenge because your memory is not that sharp anymore. Well, anyway, I overcame the obstacles and the challenges, and my defining moment was when I was ordained, when the Archbishop laid his hands on me and I lay prostrate on the altar. I had goosebumps because that was my covenant with the Lord, to serve Him the rest of my life.
And it's been how many years now then? About five?
4 years.
4 years.
Going five, yeah. Yes.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. My brothers and sisters, God is calling you, and in John 15:16, it says, not you who called me, but I who called you, and I appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain. If you're a female, maybe God is calling you to become a sister, a nun, or maybe just get involved in various lay activities. If you're a man, again, something that God is calling you to do could be a variety of different things. But for some of you, it may be entering the priesthood or become a deacon. And I can't tell you, you heard just a few words here from Deacon Celso on how it changed his life. It's one of the greatest gifts I've ever received. I mean, the gift of marriage right there at the top. But being a deacon, you can't even describe how full of the Holy Spirit you feel when you're a deacon and deacon's wife.
Not to mention, you receive all of the sacraments.
Amen. I mean, exactly. You get all the sacraments. So it's so important. Agnes, you are the wind beneath the sails of Deacon Celso. I have been around you, and you're the one who is planning and making things happen. Tell us about your faith journey.
My faith journey started when I was a young kid, and my father was a very strict man. He taught me that God answers prayer. And so he told me to go into prayers. And one time he said, ask God for anything and He will answer your prayers. That's what he said. And so what I did, prayed before the icon of Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I asked for a box of prunes, dried prunes. And my father said, all right, close your eyes and God will answer your prayers. And I said, okay, I'll close my eyes. And then I would ask, Pa, shall I open my eyes now? And then he would say, not yet, not yet. Okay, how about now? Can I open my eyes? No, not yet. And then he said, this time you open your eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I saw a box of prunes before the icon of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in my young age, I was so happy to know that God, whom I cannot see but only the picture, has answered my prayer. And so from that time on, I just know and know and know, or knew or knew or knew, that God is a powerful God who answers prayers.
Did your dad hear you pray for the prunes, or was it something?
Yes.
He heard it.
Yes.
And so somehow it just manifested, he got it, and whatever, and it was such an example of God's love and so forth. And that is absolutely amazing. And from that early age, then your faith kept growing.
Until I met my husband.
Oh, wait a minute. If it started growing until you met your husband? No, no. And then it grew even more, right?
It grew even more.
Okay. I want to cover that in the right way. No, there's no question about it.
So when I met him, I thought, because my father died. And when my father died, I was so in despair, I blamed God. I said, how come you took my father at a young age, and there are 9 children of his that he left, and I'm the number 7, and so what will happen to me? So I live a life of insecurity. When I met Celso, my husband, I said, maybe I can depend on him my life. I can entrust my life to him. To just find out in our early marriage that I think I made a mistake in choosing him, because I was not the only woman in his life.
To all the girls I loved before.
Uh-oh.
And so I prayed to God, Lord, our marriage is hitting the bottom rocks. And so please help me. If Celso is not the right man for me, in 2 weeks' time, Lord,
two months'
time, Lord, I will wait for your answer to help me and Celso. If not, then I'm going to leave him. And I counted the days, and the Lord seemed not to answer my prayers. And so my bags were packed. I was ready to go, as the song goes, until the 6 weeks. Celso came home from his work, and he said, he calls me Ne, Ne, from now on, our life will change. It will be a better life. And then I said, what? And then he said, I talk to God. I said, you? Who are you to talk to God? You're a sinner. I didn't know that I too am a sinner and that we can talk to God. And then I thought he was crazy. And after that, I saw him in his room reading a book like this, and then I didn't realize God answered my prayer because he was not going out anymore from the house, and he was just reading this, and we have to bring his breakfast, his lunch in his room. Until one day I said, can we go watch movies? And then he said, wait a minute, I'll ask God if we are supposed to go watch movie. And I said, what? Just to watch movie? Do we have to ask God about this? And then he said, yes. And then I said, I asked God to answer my prayer, but I didn't know that it's going to be like this. Where is reality? That's what I asked. And he said, in order for you to understand, let me pray over you. And then I said, no, I don't want to be prayed over.
Wow. We're going to come right back to talk more about what happened in this exciting story of Deacon Celso and his wife Agnes, because this is about transformation as we talk about living out our faith. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of a miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're here with Deacon Celso Rojas and his wife, Agnes. And Agnes is going through a very important story, a story that many of us have gone through. You get married, you have these trials and so forth, but then the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you were just sharing how you were having severe problems in your marriage. You were considering leaving. And all of a sudden, something happened to Deacon Celso. And before you continue your story, Deacon, what was going on? What made that transformation, that metanoia?
My experience with the Lord, I saw that God is alive through the healing that have transpired. My very first experience on the charismatic gift was the gift of healing. I was a bank manager, and this gentleman from the central bank, equivalent to the federal bank here, came to audit our bank, and he introduced me to the Lord. It all started with a letter, you see. You can see how God needed the events. My brother received a letter from San Jose, California, from his sister-in-law, and that was an 8-page letter, and that letter stated, "Cesar, Jesus is telling me to write this letter to you. He wants to let you know that he's going to use you in the ministry." My brother laughed, and he said, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to you. My brother laughed because how could God send the Holy Spirit to him? He has already the Holy Spirit when he was baptized. And he said, if what is written is true, send the Holy Spirit to my brother, to me. He made me a guinea pig. And so, succeeding events, this examiner came, who was empowered by the Spirit. Within 24 hours, that challenge was answered. And so, the very first thing that my brother said to test if it was true, he said, "I have a driver whose brother was given up already by the doctors. He had cancer. He was sent home, and he's waiting to die." And he said, "Why don't you go there and pray over that guy?" So we went there, and I didn't know what to do. That examiner told me, "Lay your hands on that person," because he explained Mark chapter 16, and pray. So what kind of prayer? Pray whatever is in your heart. All I knew was the Our Father formula prayer. So when I entered the room, I saw this person whom we will pray over in a fetal position, skin and bones. And I said, "Oh my God, what if nothing happens here? The people will think the bank manager is crazy." I was the bank manager. People will think the bank manager is crazy. And so the guy told me, "Lay your hands and pray and ask God to heal him." You know what, Deacon Steve? Right before my eyes, after the prayer, the guy stretched out his body, sat down, stood up, and asked for food.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
That was powerful. Then I made the research on the Bible, and I saw in the book of Acts the signs and wonders that God had done in the ministry of the apostles. And so I said, "This is true. God is alive," I said. And then from that time on, we had many experiences in healing, and maybe, yeah, we had experiences in deliverance too. There was a lady who was experiencing extraordinary things in her life because she gave her soul to the devil. And we had a prayer meeting in the bank, and she came in with her eyes, you know, staring like it was a sharp look. And so when we started praying, she started to tremble and she started rolling on the floor. That was my first experience of deliverance. And I didn't have the prayer in tongues yet, so we just prayed, "In the name of Jesus, get out of her." And then whenever she hears the name of Jesus, she covers her ear. She didn't want to listen. So we continued praying until she was delivered. That was my very first experience. And after that, many things happened. Healing happened. There was a guy with tuberculosis who was sent to our house by the nun who Because we, you know, Deacon Steve, we have a ministry also at home. We had a free school for pre-kindergarten class. Free, everything was free. Even the uniforms were free. And then we fed them. And then we had a medical mission in our house. And this particular person was sent home because he had a very bad case of tuberculosis. And he was hopeless. And when he came to our house, she told my wife, Sister Angelina sent me here to ask you for transportation money because I'm going home to the province. And when I saw him, I told him, do you want to be healed? And he said, yes. Okay, let us pray and ask the Lord to heal you of the tuberculosis. And what happened was, I prayed over him. He was sitting down, not in our chair, but on the floor because he cannot sit straight. And then after that, we gave him money and then he went home. 3 months later, there was a guy who came knocking at our door and he had a basket full of vegetables and he was asking where I was, but I was in the province because that's where we had the bank, a family bank. He told my wife, don't you remember me? My wife said, no, I was the guy whom your husband prayed over. And I'm healed now.
Hallelujah!
And I have worked now with the city government as a caminero in the street.
Street sweeper.
And that was one of the miracles.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus is real!
Amen! Amen.
He's
alive.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is alive.
Amen.
This is not fantasy, make-believe.
Yes.
Jesus told us very clearly in John 14:12, you will do what I do and more.
Yes.
And more because I go to the Father before you. In Mark 16:18, as referenced by Deacon Celso, we are to lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Yes.
We see this in James 5. We see this throughout Scripture. Signs and wonders. It is normal Christianity.
Yes.
I don't like the word, use the word charismatic only because it labels people.
It's
a gift, right?
It's a gift.
And what is a gift is the fact that God has empowered us with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He has not left of orphans. And what's so important is to understand that God has called us. Now, you apparently, like all of us, had some issues that you were dealing with and getting back to Agnes and what was going on. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us,
mm-hmm.
and we realize that we're being called to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
We're being called to make a transformation within our hearts. And at that point, you obviously knew that your marriage was hurting. And what made you then come to Agnes and basically say, hey, you know, our life is now going to be changed?
Remorse, and then repentance, and forgiveness.
So let's pick it up from there, Agnes. You were ready. Your bags were packed. You're ready to leave. And for many of you right now, you may be going through the same experience, but praying and believing and knowing the fact that Jesus is real, something was happening within Deacon Celso's life. And then he came to you and said that he wanted to pray over you. And tell us about that.
Okay. When I asked that we go and watch movie, and then he said that he has to ask God about it. And so I told him that, and he said that he's going to pray over me. And he said, and I said, I don't want to be prayed over. I don't want to be crazy just like you are.
crazy for Jesus!
and then he said, why don't you want to be prayed over? Maybe you have a lot of demons in you. Demons? I said, I don't want to have demons in my life. So, okay, pray over me. Pray over me, please. And then he laid his hands on me. And when he laid his hands on me, I just felt like I was
floating
in the air.
Wow.
Reaching to the stars.
Wow.
Looking at the moon. And I said, I was crying and crying because I said, how come that I'm on top of here and I can just reach out to the stars? And then that's the time I saw, as if in a flash, my life,
mm-hmm.
when my father was with me, teaching me how to fly a kite. And then I saw the life, our life, And then I see, I heard a voice. I don't know if I heard a voice, but it seems like I heard a voice saying, I have been a father to you. I have never left you. And I cried because I have missed my father so much. And to know that God loves me and I have a father in God, and it made me cry. And from that time on, life changed. I dedicated my life to God.
Hallelujah.
And with my husband.
And you've been married 43 years.
Correct.
And children?
Yes.
How many children?
Four.
Four children. Wonderful. My brothers and sisters, God wants to transform us. In John 10:10, it says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Everything changed when he laid hands on you and you accepted that. When God came to you and the Holy Spirit came to you, our life is meant to be a life of joy.
Amen.
It doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean we won't have challenges, but it's a life of joy. And when we talk about sharing the good news, it really is saying yes to Jesus without any hesitation. So you had this incredible experience, Agnes. And then what happened from there?
And from that time on, I realized that I was not a perfect wife. I was not a perfect person. So I said that I have to forgive him. And I asked also forgiveness from him because I was not really a good wife. And maybe I was a nagging wife. That was his complaint to me before. And so we said that from now on, we'll work together for a better life. And so right after when we talked, then his bigger brother, his elder brother, called him and asked him to go over to a place wherein he's going to minister to someone. And then he said, okay, come on, let's go to that place. And then while he was driving the car going to that place where we're going to minister to this woman, and he said, pray, pray for covering. Why? I said, he said, the Lord is impressing in my mind that this woman is full of flesh. I don't know what it means.
Flesh,
he said, full of flesh. And so when we came to the house, indeed the woman opened the door and he was not in a decent clothing, but we prayed for covering. And from that time on, we started going to places, even if we didn't have the Life in the Spirit seminar, even if we did not know anything about it, except that I know that God answers prayer and he's alive. And so with our faith, we just went on. Whenever we were invited to go places, like street evangelization, someone called us, and then he said, we have something to do. What? Let's go evangelize to this place. And then we all went, his brother, me, my sister-in-law. I brought a jar of lemonade, and then we went to that place, and we didn't know it's going to be street evangelization, wherein people just walked by, and then the one who invited us, okay, stop here, and we will start our evangelization.
Right on the hallway of City Hall.
Of City Hall.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
When my brother-in-law started preaching, and people were watching and thinking we were crazy, but we didn't mind because there were some who were there and listened. And then after the preaching, and then my brother-in-law and them, they just laid hands like this, not touching anyone. And people just fell down. And it was like a commotion in that place. And we said, we didn't know anything except to pray, I believe in God, our Father, Hail Mary, and glory be. That's the prayer we knew. But then God manifested his strong presence, and God showed that he's with us. He is in us, and he can use anyone as long as there is a willingness in the heart.
The most important thing, my brothers and sisters, is to say yes to Jesus, is to make that decision for Jesus. And when that happens, everything changes. One of the references is in the Gospel of Mark, and where it says in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, all that you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it, and it shall be yours. We're going to be right back to talk more about the gift of faith and what does that mean to us as it relates to making that step forward. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I have just been mesmerized by this holy deacon couple, Deacon Celso Rojas, his wife Agnes, and they're talking about their experience. And I think one of my takeaways is that, you know, we think that these people have these spotlight lives, or that they don't have issues, or only us have challenges in marriages or families or whatever. Only us are sinful, and these other people, man, they're so holy. For most of us anyway, and I'll say most of us, including me, there are some dark times in which, you know, we have a decision to go in one direction or another. And thank God, you know, we say yes to Jesus and repent. And that's why reconciliation is so important. And it's never too late. So many people come up to me and say, my life is over. I can't ever. God will never forgive me. That's a lie of the enemy. What is important is to understand the fact that Jesus is waiting for you with open arms.
Yes.
So here you are. You're in the Philippines, actually, and that's where you got married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you now have this conversion, and both of you. And what happens? That led to a radio show.
I'd like to share to you our exciting experiences in the radio. We were with DWXI Prayer Partners. We have a 3-hour radio program, which we call Tribute to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And our station is not a fancy station just like you have here. Ours is just a small shack.
Shack.
And we operated on a bamboo transmitter.
Yeah.
Wow.
And every time there was a strong wind or typhoon, when the antenna went down because it was made of bamboo, we had to put it up because we were off the air.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. And we had a limited radius for broadcast, and people could not get us in far places. So do you know Father Bertolucci?
John Bertolucci.
Oh, sure.
John
sure,
Bertolucci.
Sure. Yeah.
When he came to the Philippines to evangelize, he was staying at the Manila Hotel. He turned on the radio and heard his voice because we were broadcasting his preaching. And so, that's my voice. I want to go to that radio station. And so somebody accompanied him to the radio station. And he said, are you broadcasting from this building? Yes, Father. And you can reach many? Yes, Father. We're using it for evangelization. And you know what? He prayed over the radio station because we were just on 5,000 watts. And he prayed to the Lord. That
AM band.
AM band. It was on the AM band. And we prayed to the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord that the Lord will bless it, and it will become a big radio station, and it will become broadcasting all over the world. That was way back in the 80s when he went there.
83.
And so what happened was, through the radio program, many came to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We had phone calls, and we had testimonies, and there was one person, one of the listeners, he said, I wanted to go to the radio station. Can you pick me up? Because I'm disabled. I'm on a wheelchair. So we went there. I literally carried him on my back, going down the stairs to his wheelchair, and brought him to the station. And he was really happy. And he said that program touched his life. And this radio station, before it became a Christian station, was secular. And the Lord made a way for it to become a Christian radio station. The ratings went up. to number one.
Wow.
And it was really the Lord. And then right now, that radio station broadcasts also on live stream. Also, every aside from the radio, regular radio programs, the broadcast ministry also has a TV show where there is a big gathering of El Shaddai in Parañaque, and it is broadcast worldwide.
Fantastic. And you guys started it, basically.
And from leaps and bounds, it's grown up, and it's all over the world now.
And were you part of El Shaddai at that
time? Yes, from the very beginning.
Tell our listening audience what El Shaddai is.
El Shaddai is a ministry. The word El Shaddai means God, our God who is more than enough. And it started with, do you remember Amy Grant?
El Shaddai.
Yes,
El
yes.
Shaddai.
That's where the name is taken from, El Shaddai. And so we started with a small group. Agnes was the first coordinator there. And
she was the first volunteer.
She was the first volunteer there. And then we had simple folks like laundry women, sidewalk vendors,
housemaids
who were listening to it.
The grassroots.
Awesome.
The grassroots.
And the real people.
And they were riding the pedicabs when they went to the big gatherings. But now most of those people were able to go abroad and send money back home, and their families, the finances of the families have been upgraded. And now when they come to the gatherings, they're in SUVs, cars, and they're wearing high heels now, not the wooden clogs before.
So how long were you doing the radio show?
83 to 87.
Okay, 87. For 4 years.
84 to 87.
And then what led you to come to the United States?
Okay, this is the thing. We have a small prayer group in our house composed of 10 couples, husband and wife. And we prayed regularly.
In
the Philippines. Okay. And in one of the prayer meetings that we have, the 10 of us, there was a prophecy. And the prophecy was, I will be sending you to a very far land to proclaim my word and to do my work. And so one of the members also had a vision of a plane that was flying to a certain destination. And we didn't know where it was until
by faith, until
there was a religious broadcasters convention here when President Reagan was still president. We visited. And then we felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit to plant the seed here in America. And I said, America is more advanced when it comes to religion. How come us from a third world country will come here and evangelize? But we followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so we were instrumental also in establishing prayer groups here in Los Angeles. And one of the prayer groups, which is in Incarnation Parish in Glendale, is going 30 years now. And then the one we have in North Hills is going 26 years now. And the Lord has sustained us in those ministries. And then for a while, we did not get involved with El Shaddai here, but Brother Mike wanted us to start the group here. So we helped also establish El Shaddai here in Los Angeles. And so from there, we continue to do the evangelization work.
God is using you both in such a powerful, powerful way. And it's important to understand that we make a decision for Christ, and we can ask for more faith to make that decision, because that's one of the most important things. Mm-hmm. Agnes, your thoughts on that. So many people think, well, I just don't have enough faith. How do I get more faith? You ask for it.
The Bible says that even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. And so because of that, I have trust in God with my small faith. And when I was young, my faith was that God answers prayer. And so as I grow up and the Lord is revealing to me himself, I know that in everything we can have our faith. Everything, is just like I have faith in this chair where I'm seated. I have faith that this chair will not let me down. And so to develop it is to constantly pray to God. constantly be aware of His presence in everything in our lives, whether while cooking, whether while you're out in the market, or driving, or taking care of your grandkids just like we do. One of the things that I try to nourish my faith is that with the kids, with our grandkids that we take care, especially now that it's vacation time, I tell them about God. And my grandson, Nathan, I love to teach him because he taught me a lot. Whenever we pray at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening, I would listen to his prayer. And because his prayer is that, Lord, I thank you for the solar system. I thank you. I thank you for the planets. For Jupiter. I thank you for Uranus. He thanks God for all these planets. And I said, oh my God. And I didn't even remember those planets when I pray. We took them for granted. And so from that time on, I also try to thank God for everything, God's creation. And also, whenever one time when the wind was blowing and we were upstairs in our room and I was trying to pacify him, and I said, because he was crying, and then I said, look at the trees. And then he looked at the trees. The trees are dancing, Lola. He calls me Lola. I said, because they are singing to the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then one time when we went upstairs and he said, the trees are dancing, Lola. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So my faith is increasing every now and every time.
My brothers and sisters, you're listening to two incredible people, Deacon Celso and and Agnes, his wife, from Rojas, share about faith. We're going to be right back to talk more about how Jesus is empowering us with his Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Prayer is powerful. Hi, this is Bishop Timothy Fryer of the Diocese of Orange in California. And prayer to God through the Blessed Mother is even more powerful. Let's pray right now for an end to abortion in our country. Let's pray 100 million memoraries this year for an end to abortion and the protection of human life from the moment of conception to natural death. If we pray one memorare an hour, we'll reach our goal by the end of the year. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I flee unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Powered by the Spirit. And we're talking about the gift of sharing your faith, the gift of evangelization, and really saying yes to Jesus. And we're with two incredible people. Deacon Celso Rojas and his wife Agnes, And what parish are you in to give that a little shout out?
Our Lady of Peace in North Hills, San Fernando Valley.
Awesome, awesome. And I know you do amazing things. And God has used you in such a powerful way. And when we talk about faith, I think Agnes was explaining right before the break, we pray, we ask, we expect.
Mm-hmm.
I often talk about expectant faith is one of the most important things. When you pray, expect that God will answer it. And as Agnes says in quoting Mark 11:23, if we have faith as big as a mustard seed, we say that mountain move and it will move. Very, very important. With that faith, God then calls you into action. I think it's really interesting to me because I had these three dreams. And in these three dreams, God says, I'm sending you to the Philippines, you know, somewhat like your prayer group in which you're going off to a far off land, not moving, at least not at this point, but that to go and minister to the people in the Philippines. And of course, I said, you sure? You sure? And then I get a phone call from Nestor, a friend of ours who said, we're going to the Philippines and God told us to invite you. We've been praying for 6 months and your name came up. That was the beginning of many miracles in the Philippines. But the most important thing for all of us is when we talk about evangelization, sharing our faith, what it really means is sharing the love of God. And you talked about your street ministry and so forth. And the poorest of the poor, which is all of us out there, we need God. In that sense, we're all poor. But Jesus makes us rich.
Yes.
And your thoughts about that and going out to the people and sharing your faith, whether it be in the street or in the parish or whatever it might be, your thoughts.
Yes, my thoughts are that as deacons, number one, we are called to be Christ the servant for others. And being Christ the servant for others means that we are like the early deacons in the Bible. We are to take care of the needs of those who are poor, the marginalized, and those who are discriminated upon, like the undocumented aliens here in the U.S. Now, the call of God to serve these people is to extend His love to them, to make them feel the love that they are loved. Because most of them, because they're hungry, an empty stomach, you cannot inject anything to them if their stomach is empty. So we are not only to feed them spiritually, but we're also to feed them physically. So through these outreaches that we have as we minister to them, they can see and they will be able to feel that they are loved. Because that is what is important. There are many in this world today that are hurting and that are broken and that they are in need of someone who will reinforce them in their very own lives. Some of them feel that life is empty. Even not only the poor ones, but also those who are well off. Like, for example, recently, well-known designer committed suicide.
You know that.
They have all the money and the riches, and yet their lives was empty. Like Anthony Bourdain, he had the fame, the fortune, but he was empty, and that is why they committed suicide. So, in our personal experience, we had one lady who called us in the middle of the night saying that she had a knife in her neck. She planned to kill herself because her boyfriend left her with all the liabilities and etc. And she lost hope already. And then we talked to her. We talked to her about the Lord, how the Lord loves her, how life is precious, how God gave the human dignity when He created us. She listened. And so we also listened because one of ways of ministering is to listen. We listened to her for 2 hours. And then she said, thank you for listening to me. Thank you for talking to me about the Lord. Now I changed my mind.
Praise the Lord.
And that was really for us a fulfilling moment in our ministry, being able to share the love of God to others.
my brothers and sisters, when we say yes to Jesus, he takes us over. The Holy Spirit comes upon us with a new Pentecost, a new awakening, fills us with love, fills us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and everything changes. And Agnes, when that happens, we want to make a difference with people. And it's almost like there's not enough time in the day, you know, that we want to serve people, we want to love people. But you mentioned a very important word, and that's encouragement. Tell us about encouragement. So many people are struggling emotionally. They're hurting with marriages, families, financially, medical conditions, and so forth. How can we be the love of Jesus to them and encourage them, Agnes?
What I do usually, especially when I encounter somebody who's talking to me about life, and then one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment and knowledge. And then one time, a housewife came to me and he said, "Agnes, can you please listen to me? My husband is coming home from Saudi Arabia, and presently I am involved with a family friend. And now that my husband is coming, I'm having this problem." So while he was talking to me about his problem, my spirit and my mind is already praying to God, "Holy Spirit, guide me. Guide me and let me know how you want me to handle this situation." And so while he was talking and telling me this story, or she was telling me this story, and I said, when she's done, she was done, and I said, "What do you think should you do?" And then she said, "I think I'm not going to tell him right now yet, because I'm going to wait for him, and we'll have him attend the Life in the Spirit seminar that we are going to have in next month." And then I said, "Well, if that's what you think that you want to do, then do it." And then I said, "Thank you, Lord, for guiding us." And then the next time he came, he said he took the Life in the Spirit seminar, and this boyfriend of mine came to me, and he said that what we're doing is not right. So I think we need to stop it because it's not right, and I'm so embarrassed with my friend. And so they split. And then both of them, husband and wife, they are together. And I said, "Lord, thank you, for you are the one who spoke to her." So my job then was only to listen to her, and then while he was listening, praying to God. So that's how I nurture my, what you call this?
Discernment.
Discernment.
Yes.
And the word of knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is found in 1 Corinthians 12. In which you have the what's called the charismatic gifts, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that are charismatic, and certainly healing is part of it, miracles, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues that we talk about, but discernment of spirits, asking for faith, all part of it. And but God will tell you what to say, and people don't understand that. What am I going to say? Well, God will give you the words.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray and ask, say, "Lord, maybe all of you and none of me, and give me the words to say."
Yes. Yeah, I would also like to share that it's not a bed of roses. Mm-hmm. The ministry is not a bed of roses. We encounter a lot of obstacles and challenges too, like financial challenges, like our health issues. Okay? So God sees to it that we will be able to overcome these challenges. Sometimes, you know, it might be like it's hard, but with God's grace, because God said in scriptures, "My grace is sufficient for you."
Amen.
Yeah, so you will be able to overcome these obstacles and challenges.
Amen. And in our weakness, right? And,
yes.
And that Jesus told us, in fact, in scripture it says, "In our weakness is our strength."
Yes.
Because then we are emptied and God fills us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many people think, "Well, I'm not worthy, or I'm a sinner, therefore I shouldn't do anything."
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners. We all need Jesus.
Yes.
And that's the important thing, is saying yes to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're ending now, and this incredible testimony from Deacon Celso and his wife Agnes, what's the final thoughts that you have for our listening audience?
My final thought is this: to those listeners who are contemplating on giving up, don't lose hope. because there is always a tomorrow to come. For every Calvary, there is a resurrection. God will see to it that you will rise above your situation right now. It might be financial, it might be family problem, or relationship problem, whatever. Put this in your mind and in your heart. God loves you, He cares for you, and you are precious to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
And in Isaiah it says, you are precious in my eyes. And that's exactly what God is saying to you right now, how precious you are. You don't have to be perfect. The word perfect really means well-made anyway. Mm-hmm. But God is shaping you and making you into holiness. Take a look at Ephesians 1, and it says He's given you every spiritual blessings. Before the dawn of time, He has created you to be spotless and holy. Final words from you, Agnes.
My brothers and my sisters listening right now, I love the Bible verse, Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you great and mighty deeds that you cannot fathom. My brothers and my sisters, the Lord is always there, who is always ready to listen to us, to help us any time of the day. And so if you are in such a situation wherein you think that you are not loved, you think that you are being rejected and no one loves you, please understand there is God who is always ready to hug you, to whisper to your ears that He loves you, and there is no one who can love you the way He loves you so much.
And can I add also Jeremiah 29:11? The Lord says, before I know well the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for woe. When you call me, when you pray to me, I will answer you.
Thank you so much for both of you being on. You have been absolutely spectacular in saying yes to God and sharing your faith. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and worship you. We pray blessings of the Holy Spirit upon you, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon you, that you be transformed by the love of Christ and all of your loved ones through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of our Blessed Mother, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We'll
Lord.
Be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Hi, I'm Chris Mueller.
And I'm Timmarie Millington.
Hey, on Trending, we discuss today's most relevant topics from sex to social media.
These aren't topics that are awkward or uncomfortable at all to bring up with family and friends.
We're called to be a light in the world and challenge modern ideologies for the kingdom of God and for eternal salvation.
That can feel discouraging sometimes, but here on Trending, we try to help equip you to know what's going on in the world and bring our faith into the conversation.
Hey, so listen Sundays on Relevant Radio, or you can find episodes of Trending with Chris and Timmarie podcast on iTunes or the iHeartRadio app.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.